Welcome back to the Rational Revolution. I am Mark Becker on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are sitting down and talking with Dr. Jill Underley, Wisconsin Superintendent of Public Instruction. We were just talking about how, and it's that I love how you put it, how everybody has gifts and it's up to the to education to unlock those gifts and help children find what they want to do. And that's so cool. I love that. And I want to talk a little bit about all of the rough waters that education is kind of having to navigate through. There's so much uncertainty, you know, and stuff from the federal government and now, you know, signing things like all of a sudden the president wants to do a fitness test again, who he probably couldn't pass himself. My words, not yours. And all these things where, you know, it's seemingly changing every day. And how do you, as the superintendent, just work through those challenges?
Yeah, I think that's just it. You work through it, right? And I look at our school districts and it's been the reality for far too long, right? That our school districts have had to deal with is that they are, you know, they've been asked to do more with less. I mean, they've been underfunded for decades. And, you know, our state legislature has, you know, left districts just really struggling to meet rising costs, you know, while still trying to deliver that high quality education to every child. I mean, we do fairly well in Wisconsin. I mean, despite, you know, our funding challenges, but I truly believe that because, let's say, before Act 10, so this is before 2011, we were investing in our schools and we were, you know, our schools were getting 2/3 funding. We were getting higher special education reimbursement rates. Our teachers were, you know, getting paid relatively well compared to other states. We were at the very least, the top third when it came to how we were funding our public schools. And so it's kind of like we've been running on those fumes in the past 15 years, or the past decade at the very least. And it's, you know, we keep passing these exit signs. If life's a highway, or if public education funding's a highway, our car has been passing, we're nearly out of gas, and we keep passing these exits, which are our school, you know, which are our state budget goalposts, right? And it's gonna be just a matter of time before we pass the last exit and we can't fill up our gas tanks anymore. I mean, we are just, our schools are struggling. And the way that they get through this is by passing local referendums to their local property taxpayers. But we know that not every school is able to pass it. Not every community wants to support it because perhaps they can't afford it. And so we're really, you know, looking at this reality that inflation continues to drive up the cost of everything. When you defer maintenance, it's kind of like you can either pay for it now or you pay for it in 3, 5, 10 years and it's going to cost, you know, 50% more or 100% more than what it would be now. You know, our state budget with the increase in the special education reimbursement, that was helpful, right? That gets us moving in the right direction. It's a start. But if we truly want to prepare our kids for the future, we have to commit to sustained investment in our public schools. And we can't place that burden on local property taxpayers.
You said that we're almost out of gas and we're going to be running. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, well, I mean, so this past budget, we didn't get in our school districts any increase in revenue, right? It was zero funded revenue. So they, and a lot of our schools, I want to say it was like over 2/3 of our schools actually saw a decrease in state aid. And so, you know, costs continue to grow and, you know, the costs, especially in rural areas, when you think about, you know, the transportation costs of busing kids in large areas, and you think about the costs of special education and those services. And then you think about the decline in the resources that we're getting from the federal government, not just in regular education spending, but we also use Medicaid funding in our schools for a lot of services. And so when you think about these additional constraints, not getting a increase in state aid from our school districts, and 2/3 of our school districts are seeing a decrease overall, it's property tax limits, like the levy limits that our school districts can levy locally, which then force them to have to ask taxpayers if they can exceed those limits. And that's when they have to go to referendum. The budgets are really these opportunities. These state budgets are really opportunities to help our school districts out. When the legislature says, you know what, we're going to increase the amount that we put into public schools, that takes the pressure off of our local superintendents and school boards from having to ask our taxpayers to help them raise the revenue through referendum. So, you know, I was just trying to use like an analogy where if you're driving on the highway and you're almost out of gas, our public schools are on empty right now. And if every exit is a budget year and it's an opportunity to fill that tank up, our schools are, every time we pass those exits are closed. We can't even get off to get the funding. So we're going to run out of gas is all I'm saying. And if our communities can no longer sustain a public school, those public schools and boards are going to have to make some difficult decisions about cutting services, you know, or not hiring teachers or increasing class sizes, not giving teachers raises, which means then they could lose, you know, great teachers to other school districts. Or, you know, as we see, you know, periodically conversations among school districts as to whether they need to close.
We're talking to State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Dr. Jill Underley. We're going to continue this discussion on the other side of the break. Stick around.